2025 is here. Some people it's good, some people it's interesting, some people it's anticipating good things ahead. And I just want to, just during worship, I just felt the Father's love for every single one of you. He just loves you and He wants you to have a brilliant year, more than you do. He wants you to have a rich year. He wants you to have an exciting year. He doesn't necessarily want you to have a comfortable year or an easy year or a busy year, but He wants you to experience Him like never before. He wants you to experience Him daily like you've never experienced Him before. He wants you to experience His holiness, His goodness, His fatherness to you as a son and a daughter. So I just pray right from the get-go, Father, you help us just have a fresh revelation, a reminder of how much you love us and how you designed us to enjoy you, to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. And we pray at the start of this year, we just commit this year ahead and just ask you to show us how to enjoy this year in the way that you want us to, in the way that is best for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's going to help us to have a brilliant year? If you could have that first slide up. And if you want to have a really good year, just do what Jesus said was the greatest commandment when he was asked of all the commandments, of all the things that God asked people to do, what's most important. And Jesus said, the most important one is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the key to life. This is the key to the best year, the best day possible, is choosing to love God with your entire being. All your heart's motivation without constraint. Your mind, your willful choices, even your emotions, giving them all to God. And also your physical abilities and all the activities in your life. You want to have a great year? Do that. But I felt God wanted to focus on an important aspect of loving Him, which is trust, trusting Him, trusting God. What does it mean to trust God? Well, just the words used in the Bible, and I won't pretend I know how to pronounce them, but they're there for your reading, pistachio and Emmett. Trust, faith, the words are interchangeable, but to trust is to believe in the reliability, the truth, the ability or strength of something or someone. So to trust in God is to believe in God, believe in His reliability, to believe in the truth of who He says and what He says and who He is, His abilities and His strength. So I really want to look today at what does it look like to have a year of trusting God. And the beautiful thing, there's lots of verses about trusting God. And I love in each of these verses how it talks about when we trust, we get back from God. When we trust in and rely confidently on the Lord God with all our heart and don't rely on our own insights or understandings, in all our ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He'll make our paths straight and smooth. We trust in the Lord and do good, and then we'll live safely in the land. We'll prosper. We take delight in the Lord, and He will give us our heart's desires. We commit everything to the Lord, trust Him, and He will help us. And faith is what God really loves. He loves a life lived by faith, by trusting in Him. And without faith, without trusting Him, it's impossible to walk with God and please Him. Because when we come near to God, we've got to believe, we've got to trust that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. And that beautiful verse that we referred to on Christmas Eve, the joy that we get as we trust in Him, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. And when we trust in Him, we overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much we get as we trust in Him. So I've just got one question for you this morning. If I could get you to ponder, ideally if there's somebody nearby that you could just share some thoughts. But what if this year was a year where you trusted God like never before? what would you anticipate seeing or experiencing? So when you think about in the past where you've trusted God, what have you seen or experienced? Or where you've seen people trust God, what do you see, what did they experience? I mean, just want to kind of whet our appetite to what life looks like if we trust God wholeheartedly. So if I could just, my one question for this morning, just while I finish off something on the whiteboard, if you could just turn to somebody by, just share, what would you be seeing, not what would you be doing, but what would you be seeing or experiencing if you trusted God like never before this year? Okay, just give you a couple of minutes, thanks. Okay, really keen to get some feedback because I don't have all the answers to this question, but just wondering what could people be seeing or experiencing if they trusted God throughout this year? Some answers from this side? Growth? Peace? Healing? Fearless, obedience, freedom. The ones I had were laughter, tears, risks, crucial conversations. That's those important, difficult, tricky ones that you'd rather not have that are just so important. And excitement. Who would love to have a year where that was our reality? It is possible. In fact, God wants it to be our reality. And so what I wanted to do today is give you some really good news about how God helps to make this a reality for you. Not so much what you have to do, but what God has done and will do in order for you to experience this. So the really key thing I want to share on is what God does to enable us to trust. Not what we have to do, I'll finish with that. But just before I do that, I just want to look at what stops us. What can stop people from trusting God? And it's a reality. It's things that are very real that will stop us, discourage us from living by faith, by living trusting God. And this is much smaller font than I looked on my computer. The first one is pride and self-comfort. When we're focusing on our own comfort, our own self-reliance, either self-reliance or even relying on other people other than God, leaning on our own understanding, good logic is not always God logic. And we've got to be honest, we can be lazy, we can focus on comfort and self. The other thing that stops people from trusting God is fear. Fear stops people trusting God, or lack of faith. And we have the potential of fear when we're going through times of difficulty and trouble. We go with fear when we look at the future and we don't know what's going to happen. And where we just would rather not take risks or do things that are out of our comfort zone in obedience to God. That stops us from living a life of trust. And we have a very real enemy of God. Satan wants us to not trust God. And he'll do whatever he can to stop us living a life of trusting God, keeping us busy, focusing on the temporal things of this world, rather than the things of God. And as he said right from the start of creation, challenging our faith, challenging what we actually believe, challenging the God that we should be trusting in to suggest that he isn't as trustworthy as he says. And the other thing that trust God is they just don't know the truth of who he is. And they don't know his character. They don't know that God is loving, as we sang today, perfect in all of his ways. So we've got to recognize that it doesn't happen automatically by any stretch. There are a lot of things working against our life, trusting God. But the good news is, and the thing I really want you to savor this morning, is how God helps us to trust him. I thought the clicky might have had a New Year's resolution to play. Jesse, can I just get on to that next slide, please? So I want to share, how can we trust God to help you trust him? Because that's the brilliant, God is just so ridiculously good. He wants to make it easy for us, and he has done so many things to enable us to live a life of trusting him, of having faith in him, and experiencing the life that we only sometimes dream about. God is ridiculously good. So I just want to go through a number of things. I've got these as a handout. So could I just get you to share them around with a couple other people, and that will help you track to see where we're going. But there's a whole bunch of things, and it's not an exhaustive list, but it's such a useful reminder of what God has done for you to help you trust him. And I want to invite Adam to come up. I've got a number of verses for these different ways that God helps us to trust him. So I'm going to get Adam to read just one of the verses for each of the sections. I just love the grace of God. The grace of God and what he does for us to enjoy him, and what he wants to do, what he's done in order to help us trust him. Firstly, God gives us faith. Jesus says that he is the originator, the author, and perfecter of our faith. If you could read that verse for us, Adam.
Let us keep looking to Jesus. Our faith comes from him, and he is the one who makes it perfect.
Jesus wants to perfect our faith. Our faith journey is allowing him in an ongoing relationship for upwards and ever increasing levels of faith. He gives us faith himself. And then we need to have faith in order to receive his grace.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
So God promises to gift us everything that we need to do everything that he asks us to do. And it's this grace that we receive through faith. So faith helps us to receive the grace that we can't earn, that we don't deserve. But God gifts us his grace through the gift of his faith. God also gifts us with his word.
You made me, you created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. May all who fear you find me a cause for joy, for I have put my hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your regulations are fair. You disciplined me because I needed it. Now let your unfailing love comfort me, just as you promised me, your servant. Surround me with your tender mercies so I may live, for your instructions are my delight.
So may our hearts be like the writer of this psalm. Give me the sense to follow your commands. Just understanding that God's laws, his directions, his commands are just for our good. They're the best way to do life. And the gift of God's word is incredible. What would we be like if we didn't have the Bible? What reference point will we have to know the truth of who God is and what he desires for us and the way of life that he invites us into? And I just really wanted to give you this handout today, and because it's kind of frustrating when I do these messages, because you don't get the benefits of what I get over the last 2 weeks, just poring over the scriptures, just looking at all the different aspects of trusting God. And I just get immersed in it, and it's so beautiful. And then we come to a Sunday, and I kind of give you the highlights package, which is really important and beautiful, and I hope it speaks to your heart. But I really wanted to give these handouts so that you can spend time enjoying God's word. And I know I'm moving through this fairly quickly, but just to be able to just enjoy the truth and to look at those verses in a greater context. So, what a gift God's word is. And the main thing I've got to share today is straight from the Bible. God also gifts us the ability to pray.
Ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened.
God doesn't command us to ask if he's not trustworthy to give. He wants to give. And in some ways, God limits himself to our prayers. Prayer is such a gift for us and such a gift for the people around us. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Prayer is the antidote to the stress of life. It's a gift that God wants us to steward, and also a gift that he wants us to use to help other people experience his goodness. God also gives us courage.
This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, power, and self-discipline.
God doesn't command us to be courageous unless he's going to back up that courage. And he gives us courage especially when we need it and especially when we don't feel like we have it. The most common command in all of the Bible is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's not the life that God wants us to do. So there's nothing in life that he wants us to be afraid of. And prayer is the way that we can overcome fear. God gives us lots of beautiful things. There's also some creative ways that he also gifts us in order to trust him. And God gifts you limitations and he allows trials.
Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing.
So when you're in situations where you have lack, don't do what I so often do and go, God, why me, poor me, but more, God, this is an opportunity for me to see your provision. You are Jehovah Jireh. You allow us situations where we're limited in order to tap into what you want to give us. I love Paul's encouragement that he knows how to live on almost nothing or with anything. It doesn't change the way he lives, whether he's got lots or plenty. And that beautiful verse, he can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That power of contentment, even when we have limitations, and particularly we're going to face trials during the year. What's our approach to it? Is it poor me? How do I avoid this, get out of it? Or God, what are you doing in this? How are you working this for my good? God also trusts us, helps us to trust him through the gift of his discipline and his conviction.
For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way.
God's discipline and conviction is that part of life that it's not fun, it's not comfortable, but it's so valuable, it's so important. And it's for us to recognise, well, what is God's discipline? What is his conviction? And I love the difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is where we feel bad about something that draws us towards God. It's his loving conviction. Condemnation is where we feel bad about something and it pushes us away from God. But God, he's a perfect loving father and he's going to help you trust him by allowing you to experience his discipline and his conviction where we need it. And following on from that, God gifts you forgiveness and the opportunity to repent.
So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor.
Again, the truth of the love of God is sometimes it's that those opportunities where we need to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I need to change the way I think, to change the way I behave. And the beautiful thing is he promises to forgive us every time we identify something that hasn't been right in our life or something that we could have done that we haven't done. And he wants us to have a confident approach to him, to ask him to change the way that we think, to change the way that we behave. It's a gift that he gives us for both forgiveness and also to be able to repent for things. Okay, just a few more. The people around this room is a gift that God gives to help you to trust him.
The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
And the thing I love about being a part of God's family is that I can tap into other people's faith when I don't have faith for something. People encourage me and give me, God uses them to build my faith, to build my trust in him. We need to, don't be shy in asking each other for faith, for prayer, for whatever it is that we don't have at any given time. It's the gift that he's given you, and to be generous likewise to others. The church family is a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. And God promises to give us direction throughout life.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take himself.
And we heard some messages on this last term, but it's just so helpful every single day. Not just the big decisions in life, but in the daily decisions. God, how do you want me to live this day? How do you want me to deal with this situation? How do you want me to have this conversation? How do you want me to undertake this task? God wants you to trust him for his direction in any and every aspect of life. And finally, and probably most importantly, God gifts you salvation.
Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me.
What a confidence. When you have the promise of salvation and an eternity with God that just gets better and better, that never ends, that isn't limited to this life. So easy to take for granted what we have and the promise of what Jesus has done for us. And as Michelle said, we're going to close with communion. And, you know, because the cross is where God made all of this happen. Jesus died not just for us, he died as us. He died in our place. He proved to us and to the whole world that nothing is impossible for him, not even being limited by death. He gave us that security of eternal life, of our own resurrection. And now we have a relationship with God through Jesus who's interceding for us. Every day, that's his full-time job, is interceding for you. You are saved forever. Thanks, Adam, for sharing those verses. Just before we get to communion, the ultimate question is, so what? So what is our part? What is our part? So in view of all of these things that God gifts us, he's done so much for us to enable us to trust him. The things that he can't do for us and can't make us do are these things: to surrender our lives and die to ourselves. As the psalmist says, God does not desire a sacrifice, or he would offer you one. You don't want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And Jesus said to all of his disciples, and he continues to say to anyone who wants to follow him, if you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. As if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And that relationship with God, he wants us to be in constant communication, to speak to him, to ask of him, to listen to him. God is always available, all day, every day. God is always with us. He is always for us. He is always available to us. We have to choose to ask. We have to choose to position ourselves to listen to God. And then we've got to do it, to trust and to obey. That's what we get to do. We get to trust and obey out of love for God, out of response to him. And this is my final verse for today, which talks about, again, what God's done for us and what we get to do in obedience to him. 2 Peter 1, 2-8. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection or sisterly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. And we get, if we do that, we benefit. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who wants a life like that? So if I can pray for us, and then we'll finish with that time of communion and opportunity to personally give our thanks to God and to have an activation of faith in sharing it with somebody else. But Father God, you are just so good. I pray that you will just continue to reveal the life that you desire for us, the life desire that you plan for us, and the parts that you play, the things that you have done to set us up to experience that abundant life that Jesus talked about. Help us to enjoy your grace and your kindness in all the ways that you provide for us to be able to trust in you. And Lord, help us to be willing to respond to your kindness by surrendering ourselves, by giving our hearts to you day by day, dying to the selfish nature, and to stay in constant relationship with you, to enjoy you, to speak to you, to hear from you, to enjoy you every day, and to trust and obey, to live out your promises, to live out the things that you're asking us to do, because they're the best things that we can get to do, whether they're easy, whether they're difficult, and that you help us to do that. So, Lord, I pray that this year may be a really rich year as we trust in you like never before. And we just thank you that you are so willing to help us to experience that. And we pray for your grace to do it well. In Jesus' name, amen.